welcome back to Tub Talk. This is the Snubs and Flubs edition for 1980s and 1990s. I don't know what the order is here, but we'll start with, we'll mix it up. We used to go Mance, Bob, Matt, and we're going to go Matt, Bob, Mance now. So, Matt.
All right, so I took the care to separate my snubs from my flubs.
Okay.
Snubs being songs that should have been on the list and weren't, and flubs being incorrect information. Let me start with the incorrect information. I'm just going to do the shit that was wrong.
So these are flubs.
The flubs. Oh, yeah. Boy. It's quick. I made it a point to correct, I think you, that Battery was on And Justice for All. Wait. And it's not. Yeah.
Off to a rousing start
here. It's not on And Justice for All. Yeah. I was thinking of Blackened at the time.
Wait, is Battery on Kill 'Em All? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Blackened is on.
So no, Battery's not on Kill 'Em All.
So we're issuing corrections. Yeah.
Listen, when we do the stubs and flubs, I'll correct that. And then the other thing I wanted to say was the Big Black song was not on Songs for Fucking. It was on Atomizer. So for all you Big Black fans out there, mea culpa.
If you've got a flub that you are furious about, email tubtalk@cageclub.me.
Did you call it L Tub Talk?
Email.
Can we call it L Tub Talk from now on?
L Tub Talk. All right, so those are your flubs.
Those are my flubs.
Did you?
I could talk about snubs and just be done with it.
So this wasn't even what I was thinking about with flubs. I thought flubs were going to be like, oh, songs that I wish that I put on my list but didn't.
No, those are snubs.
Yeah, come on, man. That's what a snub is.
You fucking came up with this term.
No. This is not. Was. This is an internet term. Maybe flubs. I thought were like. Maybe flubs are things that you put on the list that you didn't wish you had on the list. Like Vice for being. So this is
like
now
REM. Fucking REM.
This is this whole podcast is a flub so far.
It is. All right, do your snubs.
All right, so REM. Too much REM. You guys are right.
That's a flub.
I'm sorry about that. Can you play the one song that I sent you? The first one.
First one. Yeah.
This one definitely is snub, especially because R.I.P. This is Walter Becker of Steely Dan. This is my favorite song of his, maybe my favorite song ever. Like, it takes all of this.
It's your favorite song of all time, but not your 100 favorite for the 80s and 90s.
I mean, listen to it. And it goes on like this, but I love it.
What is the name of the song, and who's it by?
It's down, by Walter Becker,
down in the
who
bottom.
Died a couple years ago.
Solo
Walter Becker, which also there's a YouTube clip of him singing this song called "The Girl Next Door to the Heroin the Methadone Clinic," and it's filmed by what I assume is his wife or his girlfriend in his like modest apartment in Hawaii, and there it's clearly after a long night of like probably drinking a lot of wine. He has massive substance abuse issues, and he was just playing this song at his kitchen table while his wife is like drunkenly stumbling through the kitchen, and then you hear her like make a drink, and like the clink of the ice in the glass is really loud. But it's the most intimate like performance that I've ever seen like captured, especially by, I love Steely Dan, and seeing him in that way, because he's always background to fake, and it's such a wonderful video. And
you don't see those guys vulnerable terribly often.
It's one of the most vulnerable things I've ever seen. It's so sweet. It's really sweet. And then you hear this, and you just hear nothing but like sonic, like a sheen, invisible wall over everything about this. But you listen to the lyrics, and he's like, down at the bottom, nobody knows. Like, he's making an emotional plea, but it sounds like a Peter Gabriel like B-side.
And what year is this from?
94.
94?
Yeah.
Weird year for it to be from.
Yeah.
And then the only other thing I really wanted to mention was...
Was it the other link you sent me?
Which one was that again? Oh, that was just because I should have had some Butthole Surfers on here in some capacity, and I didn't. I probably would have used this song.
Lady Sniff?
Yeah.
From 1984.
There's really good burping and, like, creeping sounds in this song. This song fucking rules, and I didn't include this, and I also gotta say I feel bad about not including any Biohazard, because that was my shit my whole adolescence, and I should have snuck a Biohazard song on here instead of seven fucking REM songs. like all these would replace, like I would just pick three REM songs and put this.
Were there any songs that Bob or Mance put on their list that you were like, fuck, I should have put on my list?
Yeah, but
I
addressed that in the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, DJ Shadow song I definitely should have had on there.
Yeah.
And I didn't put that. I didn't make a note of that, but there was something.
So that's a flub about your snubs and flubs.
Yeah, I had plenty of them, but I think I reacted in real time to those.
This is disgusting.
I'm going to pause this so Bob can concentrate on what he wants to say.
Along those lines, just in the last 3 weeks, maybe, because we're like 6 months out of this recording.
Yeah.
I've listened to that Ted Hawkins "Sorry You're Sick" song like 1,000 times. That was Matt's. Oh, is that from this era? Yeah, it was from like 83 or something like that, right?
From that, yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, I've listened to that song over and over again, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Are you playing it right now?
No.
Oh, okay. You were
no.
You were touching the iPad, and it made me.
What's the name of the song again?
"Sorry You're Sick."
Vamp, vamp, vamp.
Yeah, no, like after you said that, I listened to it a couple more times again. Because I've listened to it.
Yeah, this is a good song. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very wounded. It's. And also feels like it's from a completely different era.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
But I know he like spent some time on the street, and like with that perspective, it's such an honest like message.
Yeah, this is some
in
like
a way that makes perfect sense.
1957 shit. It sounds like it's a compliment.
Yeah. Do you have any more subs, flubs, snubs, or Zach Braff and Scrubs?
why have we not called it the Septub Snubs and Flubs? Because it rhymes. L Septubs.
L Snubs. Snubs.
Flubs. Rubs and Tugs.
No.
Robert Kraft.
I didn't.
Robert Kraft.
Rubs and Tugs.
It's always great to bring up timely news stories.
What will have happened to Robert
when this is releasing in 8 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I know what will happen.
Nothing.
Nothing is going to happen. Yeah. He's fine.
Unless we form an elite squad of assassins and take him out.
Or at least cut his dick off.
You know what? Are we going to... Should we fully lean into this detour here?
Yeah.
I don't think anything should happen to him.
Why?
Holy shit.
Don't we hold the NFL players to this moral standard?
Yeah, I don't think they should either.
But
Tom, why don't you explain what he did? Because we are going to be way out.
Okay, so
this will be a blip on the radar of disgusting shit that happens
shooting
in 2019.
Right now.
Fair enough. No, so the story is actually disgusting, and it's very disturbing. And the sex trafficking end of it is something that clearly should be stopped, and clearly is a completely different thing than consensual sex workers. You know, human trafficking is a completely different thing than that, and it's horrible and disgusting, and the details of the story are gross. How much he knew about that aspect of it, I don't know. But
just wanted a $59 hand job.
Right. But if for a guy who just wanted a $59 hand job twice, like what are we going to arrest him for that? Come on.
Cut off his hands.
Now the people who are running the trafficking ring, they should get, you know, the full extent of the law.
But your stumps in the sand.
Bob,
did you love Zama, by the way?
Yeah, I love Zama. It was really good.
Wasn't it great?
Yeah, did you see it?
No, not yet.
You got to watch it, man.
I will. Mm. Okay, do you have more snubs and flubs?
Oh, I mean, we addressed this a little bit on the thing, but it is truly criminal that arguably the best band of this entire era, the Beastie Boys, is completely snubbed by both
not
me
completely.
And Tom.
Yep, 100%.
Hey, Matt's Hold the only one that represented here. So I'd like to say that there are possibly three Beastie Boys songs that would have made it on my list, and that is What You Want, Root Down, and Looking Down the Barrel of a Gun.
Son of a Gun.
I included some Beastie Boys in what we're going to record later. Only because I thought we would have talked a lot about them, so I want to give them another platform. We can reopen this and give them the credit they're due.
There were a lot of, I mean, the Beastie Boys were one that I was disappointed in 2/3 of you about.
Yeah.
But there are other ones like Bonnie Tyler and stuff, like just like things that are like iconic 80s ballads. That
Bonnie Tyler was Total Eclipse of the Heart.
It didn't make the list.
That's it. It was that was almost on my list. It was
That's
close.
More of a slight on that song, not fucking Bonnie Tyler.
I will songs like
Steven
that.
Tyler.
Song.
He got fucked on.
No, Steve, well, wait, didn't Aerosmith made a couple of
appearances? No, they did not. No?
There was not a single Aerosmith song.
Bob's number three.
You know what? I apologize for that, too. Angel, that's a retroactive
Angel
as well.
And Total Eclipse of the Heart both almost made my list.
There had to be
closer than the Beastie Boys.
You know,
which...
Total Eclipse of the Heart is a Jim Steinman's song, right? Jim Steinman, who wrote all...
Okay?
Yeah, he wrote all of Bat Out of Hell.
You know what? It sounds like...
It does, yeah. It has that broad theatrical... Some would argue too much. It sounds like a song from a musical, and that doesn't really fit on pop radio usually, but in this case,
yeah,
pretty good stuff.
Do you have any other snubs and or flubs?
I do. Yeah, I have Closer by Nine Inch Nails because it's absurd that song was on the radio and was as popular as it was.
Yep.
We talked a little bit about that.
The 90s were a weird time.
Yeah, and Matt leaving that off of his list because he didn't want to play that song in his house with his daughters.
Oh, I remember.
Which in retrospect is my bad because I should have just... left it on the goddamn list and listened to some other shit around the house.
Correct.
Yeah, like what?
So that song didn't. No one had that song on there.
I had Like a Hole, but not Closer.
Closer would have been the song that I had if I were picking
that
channel.
So. I think I had a Nine Inch. I might have. Do we have the same song?
We might have.
I think it was the song. Was it Fat Lip by Sum 41 that has the song where they sing about abortion, but it sounds like bullshit?
I have no idea.
Yeah, fuck you.
I'm just. Hey man, I'm just trying to connect to you to the listeners.
Here's what I remember.
Well, Bob is wearing a DC hoodie right now, so assuming he would listen to Sum 41.
He didn't drive here. He did skateboard here.
Here's my take on hearing Fat Lip by Sum 41 for the first time when I was in high school. Hey, I could just listen to the Beastie Boys instead.
Yeah.
I think that guy's married to Avril Lavigne, though.
Well, we just found out that the guitarist from Good Charlotte is married to Cameron Diaz.
Lupus
I want to talk about Good Charlotte, man. Let's go.
Yeah,
let's
all right. All right. Snubs and or flubs, Bob.
The Go-Go's.
We got the beat.
Or Vacation, or I mean, there's a number of Go-Go songs. Go-Go's are they like continue the tradition of girl group pop rock, and I think they're predecessors to a lot of really good stuff. And they should have made someone's list. I think
were the Bengals in this era? Or the Bengals earlier than this?
No, Bengals were this era. And Matt had a Bengals song on his list.
Walk Like an Egyptian, baby. That song's great.
Yeah, Susanna Hoffs is wonderful. I think should have had the Go-Go's on the list. I don't know.
What about the B-52s? Not that they're that related, but...
Yeah, the I think we maybe talked a little bit about...
I had a couple B-52 songs. Or I had one, at least, I think. I had Rock Lobster, yeah.
The thing about B-52s is, I had Wanna Dance With Somebody, the Whitney Houston song, and the reason why that song made my list was because I have been multiple...
I didn't?
No B-52s at all.
Oh, I thought I had the B-52s.
Still a liar.
The reason why that song was on my list is because I've been to multiple weddings, and you play that song at a wedding, and everybody goes crazy. And the same can be said of Love Shack. If you're at a wedding and Love Shack gets played, everybody sings along. Yep. So, like, I could see Love Shack making any list that you want to make for this era. Also, Matt and I, we had talked about Love Shack and Rock Lobster and how they're, like, actually 12 years apart or something like that.
The chronology of it all was mind-blowing.
I thought they were probably came out the same year, but no, it's like 1998. And
yeah. What does that say about our, like... And I've been asking myself in the intermittent months since we've recorded, like, why are we doing this exactly? What is it that's inside of our brains?
The listener is asking the same exact thing.
How much the knowledge of what year a B-52 song came out was a big deal, like in the moment to us.
Yeah, yeah.
Is so ridiculous. And it made me analyze a lot about, like, how my mind works.
Well, it's also...
I came out smiling.
So this is a therapy session for you.
I guess so.
I'll be honest, it kind of is too, because a lot of what this is for me is like trawling through the past and
nostalgia. Yeah,
yeah, digging things up and figuring out like emotional touchstones for me, or just like I think it was the Goldfinger song that Matt and I were just like, that's like wall township
here in my bedroom.
It's
a great song.
Yeah, and it's like there's something regional about it. There's something so specific about where that song exists. That's what doing this is worth for me.
Yeah, to share that hyper specific and deep feeling with somebody else on a weird level. That's right. Let me just ask you this. I know you're looking like you're ready to speak, but I just wanted to ask you this: when you do that, like trawling through your memory, like, how thick is the filter you put on it? Like, how recent is the filter? Like, especially for you, because of what we talked about before, you losing your parents like last year. How much, as you reflect on anything in your past, does it hit that filter in your brain? Is it just automatic and that's a dumb question, or like, do you choose to put it on or take it off?
Are you asking what the cut line for nostalgia is?
No, I'm asking like when you every time you remember something, you just remember the last time you remembered it. So like, your context is different every single time. Whatever you've learned between the last time you thought about it, like, do you factor that into your the time you spend trawling the attic of memories?
I think you have to.
Yeah,
right.
It's natural. Yeah.
Like the one that comes to mind with what you're talking about is the Nick Cave song "Into My Arms," because that was like when my dad died, we put together like this disc full of photos, and then there were like three or four songs that played on a loop. There was the Randy Newman song "Gives Us All His Love," I think "Strangers" by the Kinks, and that Nick Cave song. And so that Nick Cave song, even though that's a song that I love, it's like now, because I like did the work of putting together like a death mix CD, like there's no way to now divorce that from that. Whereas like that was a song that I liked before. Now it's like a song that I will like forever associate with October 3rd of 2018. I almost said 2019, which like would have been absurd because not getting the date right. Anyway. Snubs.
It's okay to grieve.
Subs.
Are you done? Do you have any snubs?
I don't know. Go to Tom. I might have more notes.
That's who we got. Snubs, flubs.
So this is actually... well, first of all, I wish overarchingly that I put more Chris Cornell onto the onto my list in hindsight. I think, I echo Bob completely on BC Boys. That was a spot I missed too. And, when I was going through and putting the list together, my methodology was to make a list of every song that could conceivably, possibly in some world, make the top 100 and then cut from there. And I started with like 300 songs or 350 songs. I forget exactly what it was. And there were a lot of songs that, like in the bottom 25 of my list, like could have been replaced by the rest of the songs that didn't make the cut. Something I struggle with when putting these lists together, and I'm still kind of finding the right calibration for it, is the emotional touchstones and the nostalgia factor that you guys both pointed out just now versus like the overarching cultural significance of a song. So like I didn't have a lot of Michael Jackson on my list because personally, growing up, Michael Jackson's music didn't really influence me greatly. Like as I got older, I began to listen to his older stuff and kind of appreciated it intellectually, but in the moment, emotionally, he didn't really do anything for me, so I left him off the list because this is my life experience, and I'm always kind of going back and thinking like, oh, did I give Michael Jackson, who was obviously one of the most influential artists of the last 40-50 years,
and innocent,
did I give him the proper respect that his music deserves as strictly as from an artistic standpoint? So I'm constantly questioning that aspect of it, and like, am I paying enough respect to the landmark artists and the landmark songs of a certain era versus just the ones that I was most closely emotionally attached to?
It's so fascinating to me that you like somehow swerved around Michael Jackson as a kid, being the age that you are. It seems impossible, and it must have something to do with your parents just being like,
yeah,
this doesn't interest me, so yeah, it's not going to end up in the house.
Yeah, my mom was like a Beatles and Beach Boys person. My dad was like Black Sabbath and Ozzy and 80s Metallica, and so I heard Michael Jackson on MTV and on the radio, but he wasn't a big thing in my life growing up.
You're
so
probably sick of hearing it all the time.
yeah maybe
I want to listen to some fucking Black Sabbath.
So as far as Stubbs and Flubs, like I don't have anything super specific. Like I don't have a list of songs that I specifically wish I put on the list, except for the Beastie Boys. I definitely should have included them. I'm constantly like second guessing myself, even as we're getting ready to record more episodes of the 2000 to 2018 list. I'm constantly questioning myself, like, am I fucking up by not acknowledging certain songs and certain artists? Yeah, Weedus. That's all I got.
Because it took us so long to get back into it, like, we take these months-long hiatus. We take months-long trips to Haiti.
Whoa, this water got cold. Sorry.
Joey has his heat off.
Finish what you're saying, please. I'm sorry, I
totally, when I listen to this thing, I if I start thinking about how I ranked it or what order this stuff's in, I'm just like, it's so different. It's already months later. So like, I just treat it as like, it's a locked in thing. Yep. And like, I'm excited to talk about them now. Like, I'll try to listen to them like just open-mindedly and like scramble the order and just hear the song and talk about the song. This is actually, we should probably switch now because we're talking about something that we're not recording.
Well, I got one more. Yeah. I got one more that is a flub, and I think it or a sub. I've forgotten. And this has to do with Wall Township and specifically the people that we knew, and maybe even more specifically Dylan. I don't know how They Might Be Giants didn't make my list at all.
Yeah.
And specifically the song New York City, even though I know that that's a cover song.
Play it.
That's a cover song, but something about that song is like
that song sounds like the montage of Dylan moving to New York City.
That's right, yeah, yeah, and it'll locate me in this very specific time and place, New York City by the Might Be Giants. Are you a They Might Be Giants fan?
The stuff I've heard, yes.
I love this whole album.
It's great.
It gets shit on. I don't know why.
No, but, man.
SEXXY is great.
I mean, they get. I know, like, Kristen doesn't like They Might Be Giants because she thinks of it as, like, kids' music.
It is kids' music.
Yeah.
They wrote the fucking Mickey Mouse Clubhouse theme song that I hear every single morning.
Was it.
Tiny Toons.
What was Pinky and the Brain?
No.
It was Tiny Toons.
Yeah.
It was Tiny Toons because they did the. What's this? Chernobyl?
And
Alphabet of Nations.
And Particle Man.
Particle Man.
Yeah.
That's what we started listening to on car road trips, YouTube clips of like the Tiny Toon stuff and the Animaniacs stuff.
Uh-huh.
I didn't really watch Animaniacs, but they have the same kind of thing. It's like, you know, they run through all the presidents, they do the states and capitals, yeah. And it's really funny.
Yeah. And this song also has this like incredibly romantic line in it where he says, the best part of New York City is you and me, which is like,
aww.
Yeah, it's nice. Really
here it is.
Fantastic. Okay, well,
this is a good energy to go out on. I think that was great.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Any other thoughts about snubs and or flubs or no?
I'm good.
Yeah, no.
Those are all my notes.
I don't. Come back in 2 weeks for our kickoff for the 2018 Best of Songs.
See all you guys in 2 weeks.
And then come back in 12 weeks for the snubs and flubs about those episodes.
Just keep coming back.